Well, Canada's international broadcasting service will see 80% of its budget eliminated this year. But it's not the only international broadcasting service to see cuts. The Netherlands, Australia, the UK, and even the United States are all facing some changes to their services. Still, others are recommitting millions to what many describe as the soft diplomacy arm of their governments. Our Ottawa correspondent Amanda Pfeffer is looking at the future of international broadcasting, and she joins us from the CBC studios in the nation's capital. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Mark.
I guess we should start out by just getting a sense of why countries have international broadcasting.
Well, it goes back a long way. International broadcasting began when broadcasting began. So governments wanted to reach out to foreign audiences, to reach their, you know, their expatriates, and during the world wars in Europe to deliver propaganda, later to enhance trade relationships. So today the reasons are a little bit more complex and the audiences are enormous. The BBC World Service, for instance, reaches out to 180 million people each week. The U.S. services reach out to 185 million people a week. Some think there are 500 million people listening globally to international radio every 7 days. So the IBB is the umbrella agency in the U.S. under which there are five separate network services. The most familiar to all of us, of course, is likely Voice of America. And I had a chance to speak with Jeff Trindle. He's the deputy director of the International Broadcasting Bureau.
Well, certainly we fit comfortably under the broader rubric of soft power. While we don't push the policies of any particular administration, we do represent, broadly speaking, through our journalism, American values and the importance of free media in free society. So it is an integral part of foreign policy of the United States.
So again, that's Jeff Trindle. He's with the U.S. International Broadcasting Bureau. And, you know, as part of foreign policy, the services under the IBB are funded directly through the federal government. That's the model for most international broadcasters because governments have this interest in soft diplomacy. The BBC World Service is funded by its foreign office. So is the Australian service. But most of these services are seeing their budgets get, you know, the big squeeze. We've been going through global recession. The transmission through shortwave radio, which is very expensive, has been dropping off.
So how much are these other places getting cut?
Well, among most Western democracies, the cuts are big. I think Radio Netherlands Worldwide is the best example. It's one of the first international services to go on air. Just to give some perspective, our service was operating with about $12.5 million Canadian. Radio Netherlands Worldwide has been operating a service worth $58 million Canadian, so five times larger. And the country's population is half the size of Canada. So obviously soft diplomacy, very important for the Netherlands. Last year, they announced a 70% cut to the service, the elimination of its entire shortwave service. The UK is another good example. BBC World Service lost one out of five employees last year. Several language broadcasts went off the map. Even the US services, you know, after years of expansion, particularly since 9/11 and their uptick in broadcasts to Arab countries, they're prepared for the U.S. government to tighten its belt as well. Listen to Jeff Trindle again with the IBB.
It's an incredibly dynamic time in the world. It's a junction of global political and economic upheaval on the one hand and a sweeping revolution in communications on the other. So it's a great challenge for anyone in the media business, and it's perfectly understandable that the international broadcasters, just like commercial broadcasters around the world, are really struggling to identify and adapt. I think it's something we should anticipate will continue or even accelerate in the future.
So again, that's Jeff Trindle. And certainly one of the biggest changes is the transmission through shortwave. This is how international broadcasting flourished since the Second World War. The IBB now spends $80 million on U.S. transmission through shortwave. And the next budget, they're asking for a cut to cut that in half. The Swiss service has cut it completely. The Dutch service will be cutting it, as we already mentioned, in 2013. The BBC World Service cut shortwave dramatically in the last year's budget. There's still a worldwide commitment, though, to shortwave, particularly to some audiences.
For instance?
Well, the U.S. is keeping shortwave to reach these audiences where internet and satellite is not available. Pakistan is one, Afghanistan is another, and China. Now, China is massively investing in shortwave radio around the world. They're launching a major soft diplomacy offensive through shortwave radio. But also, you know, they actually use shortwave to jam other people's shortwave. So they'll broadcast on the same frequencies as a U.S. service so that their audiences hear the Chinese broadcast instead. In Canada, what we're seeing is the pulling down of the towers in New Brunswick and ending this era of shortwave from Canada forever.
So Canada is also seeing the effect on its budget, the same thing we're seeing elsewhere.
That's right. And the Canadian service, however, is facing a more dramatic hit to its service. It's actually also eliminating, along with shortwave, broadcasting altogether. And we've been here before. In the late 1990s, a guy named Alan Familiant, he headed the RCI, and the CBC, the domestic service, said it could not afford to keep an international service anymore. The pink slips went out to all the RCI employees, and Familiant called up Sheila Copps. She was the Minister of Heritage at the time. She funded the CBC, and he said, you know, we're gone in a couple of days. And Copps said, give me 24 hours. And the very next day, Copps had gathered funding from several departments, including a significant contribution from, guess who, External Affairs, what we now call Foreign Affairs. And here's what Alan Familiant said at that time.
But I hope that we take the offensive this time and present Canada with a strategy of how RCI fits into the general Canadian government international strategy, so that we don't face the same problem next year.
So that's how that went. That's Alan Familiant in the late 1990s. Today, Alan Familiant is retired. He still lives in the Montreal area. He says RCI still has a vital role today.
But RCI played a very big role in exposing Canada to the world, and that has to continue.
So that's a former director of RCI. But could that similar kind of 11th-hour bailout happen again?
Well, of course, you know, in other countries, the people who come to the rescue are the people involved in foreign affairs, and that's how that happens elsewhere, including the United States. There are people who come to committee and say, you can't cut the budget by X amount. Now, again, it was an external affairs here in Canada that came to the rescue and saved the day in the late 90s. So I went to the chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee. We have a parliamentary committee here in Ottawa for foreign affairs. Dean Allison is a Conservative MP from the Niagara region. He's the chair, and here's how my conversation started with Mr. Allison.
Can you tell me the first time that you sort of became conscious that RCI existed?
When you called us. So, I mean, it's not a department I was particularly familiar with.
So that's Dean Allison. Now, to be fair, the Conservatives feel, you know, this is up to the CBC to decide. The CBC is the domestic service. They're in charge of the RCI budget. And it was the domestic service that, you know, cut the budget for the international service. So, you know, it's not up to them.
Well, that sounds a little bit different from the other broadcasters you were discussing.
Well, that's right. Unlike other international broadcasting services, which are funded directly through their foreign affairs departments, the departments that actually where the mandate of RCI or an international service really fits, there are others on that same parliamentary committee in Canada, the Foreign Affairs Committee, who feel that this is the problem here that we have with RCI, that it's so dependent on the domestic service, they have conflicting mandates. Here's Paul Dewar. He's the New Democratic member and the co-chair of this Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs. And he's followed immediately by Dominic Leblanc. He's the Liberal co-chair of that same committee.
We have to push to keep this service going. We have to show this government that this isn't just an extra, that this is something that is core to telling the rest of the world who we are.
The world is more complicated, more violent, in many of these faraway societies, in terms of not respecting human rights and the rule of law. And so to remove these tools, I think, is even more insidious a decade later.
So, the last person speaking there was Dominic Leblanc. He's the Liberal co-chair on the Parliamentary Committee of Foreign Affairs. And it's interesting to note that in his riding, we've got the shortwave towers in New Brunswick that will, you know, likely be torn down at the end of this process. But the Conservatives under Dean Allison have a majority on that committee. They dictate the issues that the committee discusses. And so there's an uphill battle getting Dean Allison to you know, learn about RCI. But there is optimism out there, Mark. I don't want you to get depressed here. The Canadian service going forward, the IBB says media freedom, one of the core principles of the IBB in the United States, is at its lowest ever. Media freedom is at its lowest ever. And so the international broadcasting is more needed now than ever before. And so the Canadian service, as it still will exist as an internet service, will become more important than ever.
Well, I know that a lot of the mail that we have received here suggests that certainly people will miss these broadcasts, both domestically, as the link is carried on the CBC, and certainly internationally as well. A lot of people really depend on us for information and entertainment.
Yes, and of course, we've talked about in the past on this show about how internet coverage is not absolute in all countries. Consider this listener who has been listening from China. They said they're very sad that we're going to lose the service. It takes years, he says, to build an audience, but only a short time to lose it. We don't want to listen to you on the computers. We just want to hear you on the radio. And that's from Li Meng in Manshan City, China.
Well, as many pointed out, of course, access to computers is very limited for literally hundreds of millions of people around the world. And, of course, a shortwave radio, very inexpensive, and a lot of them don't even need electricity or batteries. Many of them are wind up, and a lot of people do listen to us on those radios around the world. Mm-hmm. Amanda Pfeffer, thank you very much for an interesting report.
You're welcome.